Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
We're getting all kinds of what does Cal listen to? No, stop this.
This ain't going to go well.
It's not going well at all.
I'm not going to take part in this.
I'm not taking any part in this.
Some of you people are just terrible people. Yes. A lot of us are good people on the show. Some of you are terrible people in the...
Yeah. I pick CCR, a classic band. I can see Kyle listening to Bad Moon Rising.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. We all... Who doesn't love a little Bad Moon Rising?
I don't love CCR.
No, I don't love CCR
either. I don't love them either, but I think... I don't think it's a bad band to put on Kyle.
No, I feel like it is. I don't feel like it's a... I don't feel like they're a bad band at all. I can see why people would like them. It's just not my particular savoir faire. How much higher can Easterby climb? This is about as high as it gets. Executive Vice President of Football Operations.
Unless he somehow
has... He's potentially in charge of a GM. This is as high as it gets.
Yeah, he can't have a corporate takeover and take over the ownership. But this is where he stops, right?
Well, it's funny. Two of our three general managers aren't really, well...
Two of our three general managers, we don't have three. Oh, yeah, well, I guess Rafael we do Stone, have two general managers now.
Well, but they're not even... Here's the thing is they're not even... They don't have backgrounds in the sports. Like, Rafael Stone, I'm sure he learned a hell of a lot from... I mean,
well,
he's
James
been
Click
there since
does.
2005.
Look, to be clear, Texans don't have a GM.
No, they don't have a GM. And they're going to hire a football guy. We think.
This is why it's highly unlikely that there will be any trades for the Texans before a trade deadline.
Is there any chance Cal goes, you know what? We've looked at all the candidates, and we just feel that Jack Easterby is the guy.
No. If that happens, then you know that Jack has completely taken over the realm. And it's now House Easterby. It is not House McNair.
Albert Breer went on to say more. That one wasn't nearly... That one was just, okay, how did the relationship start? Probably with religion. Okay. And I could certainly see that. When I was in Green Bay with the team for workouts, when they went up to Green Bay a couple of years ago, Jack was there. The Cal's family was... All of them were there. And Jack Easterby was there. And he seemed to have a relationship with the whole family. So I could certainly see that. I could see where they were, you know, he was starting to ingratiate himself into the Texans culture, and I could see where they would like him. He's a religious guy. He believes in a lot of the same things they believe in, and that's just fine. I think that's great. That's just fine. But as far as making football decisions, that's not fine. But Albert Breer goes on to talk about how Jack has pretty much climbed the ladder here.
And then over time, Easterby's role really grew, to the point where he was sort of in charge of grading scouts and grading coaches. And, you know, the weirdest thing about him, Ryan, is that you talk to people who are worked with him in New England, and they all love him, but they were all sort of suspicious of him. Like, what's going on here? Like, why is he in charge of kind of assessing the job that I'm doing? But he almost became like a quality control guy for Bill, like quality control over the coaches and scouts and the football operation. And then he hired an agent, which raised a lot of eyebrows all the way up to ownership in New England. And all right, like, what is this guy aspiring to do? He was set to go to Indianapolis with Josh McDaniels in 2018 before that fell apart. And, you know, then he winds up in Houston a year later. They fire the GM, Brian Gain, that June. He tries to get Nick Caserio to come with him down there. Obviously, the Patriots blocked that. And so this is a guy who's been sort of, I guess like his job in New England, the thing that ties like what he was in New England and Houston together is he's sort of been in charge of like maintaining the organizational culture and kind of being a backstop in the types of people they're bringing into the building and assessing the people they already have in the building. And so that's sort of the role that they had him in. And now he's risen all the way up to EVP of football ops. And a lot of personnel people in the league like wouldn't trust him at this point after what's happened with, you know, with Brian Gain, what happened with O'Brien. Like, there are a lot of people that don't trust him. But, you know, it's clearly he has the ear of the owner. He's got a close relationship still with a lot of people in New England. I'll give you this too, Ryan. He's also got a very close relationship with Dabo Swinney from his time in the Carolinas.
Well, that would be Now, that would make him valuable to the organization if he could lure Dabo, no?
Yeah, I think, you know, Jack Easterby staying with the team after the year's over could hinge on the relationship with Deshaun Watson. Because if Deshaun Watson said, I don't like this guy, I want him out of here, he's probably gone. If Deshaun went to ownership and said, I don't want this guy here, I don't trust him, whatever the case may be, or JJ, if those two guys said something.
Both those guys are religious guys now.
Well, that doesn't mean Jack is not the Messiah. If they think he's not good.
But I don't think they look at Jack Easterby the same. First of all, their jobs are secure. First of all, they don't. Hey, secondly, if Jack Easterby was part of getting rid of Bill O'Brien, those guys might be all about Jack Easterby. You know, if he helped get rid of, and oh, by the way, they have no issue with Jack Easterby.
What do you mean by religious guys? Do you think JJ and Deshaun Watson, all of their football moves are driven by Christ, their love for Christ? Because you go to church, I go to church. Are we swayed by the Jack Easterby pull?
Well, we don't know Jack Easterby.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But they do. I don't know that you say, well, they're religious guys. I don't think that really makes any difference if they go to church or whatever. I think if they don't like him, he'll be gone. If they do like him, and Jack Easterby knows that, Jack Easterby may say, hey, Deshaun, who do you want to coach? We'll work on that. If I'm GM, I want to hire my own coach, but that's why the Dabo stuff. And look, to be fair, I'd be excited about Dabo Swinney coming in.
Well, what if Jack is going to, hey, the two of them call, hey, let's call Dabo. Hey, Dabo, what's going on? Blah, blah, blah. Hey, Deshaun, let's work on Dabo, getting Dabo here. Why do you think Deshaun would be against that? I mean, listen, to say that if they want him out, I wouldn't know any reason why those guys wouldn't like Jack Easterby. He's a character guy. He helped get rid of Bill O'Brien. He might help them bring in a coach that they want to have here.
Yeah, you're right. There is a big difference. I'm looking at it from a team building standpoint, and this guy doesn't have. He made some terrible deals with Bill O'Brien. He and Bill O'Brien made some awful personnel deals because Jack was his right hand man, and they made some awful deals together. It shows that he doesn't have any idea what he's doing from a value standpoint, a personnel standpoint. If he's going to be there still, though, it needs to be completely out of real football. Like, real football people need to be doing real football things. And I know he wants to be part of that, and I get that, and I totally understand that. But this is not – you don't learn on the job at a position that could literally – his number one guy, Bill O'Brien, helped to gut their draft resources, and he gave out bad contracts. That has set the team back now. Jack Easterby – if he's involved in football stuff, could potentially end up setting the team back just because he doesn't know, you know, maybe he knows what he doesn't know, but maybe he doesn't. Maybe he thinks that he's, you know, this burgeoning football maven, and he wants to keep, you know, pushing for doing contracts and this, that, and the other thing. That just can't happen. They've done enough damage. He and Bill O'Brien did enough damage on the team building personnel side. That has to get fixed. And to do that, that area needs to be cleaned out. Matt Bazergan, as far as I'm concerned, Baz is a guy who is respected around the league. Lipfert, who's also in there, is respected around the league. I know those guys are respected around the league. They may not survive either, but you do have some football guys in there that probably need to be consulted with any football moves that go on from this point forward, for sure.
Maybe Jack Easterby or maybe Cal steps in and goes, you know what, Jack? You're not a football guy. So I appreciate what you do for this organization. You can evaluate this organization and see where we can get better character-wise, but I'm going to leave football decisions to football people. But this whole thing, Jack Easterby being a story, this alleged grab for power, his ability to sidle up to the owner, it feels like we're heading for a disaster. I mean, because if he this is a man who doesn't – we don't know anything about as far as football is concerned. In fact, all indications are he doesn't know much, and he's too big of a story. Like, the podcast we're grabbing
from. It's getting big, yeah. The Jack Easterby story is not what Jack wants out.
The podcast we're grabbing from is a national podcast, Ryan Rosillo's podcast, under the Bill Simmons umbrella. That was Albert Breer. He is too big of a story for a non-football guy. It all feels like it's barreling towards disaster.
Well, and Jack Easterby, self-admittedly, wants to be a behind-the-scenes guy. And Jack Easterby, you're dead on. The more Jack Easterby is talked about, the worse it is for Jack Easterby.
Yeah, he likes controlling behind the scenes. And because the problem is, when the light shined on Jack Easterby and people remember, oh, yeah, he made all these moves with Bill O'Brien, because he did. I'm not letting him off a hook of the hook. He's trying to get off the hook for these moves. They weren't good moves. They weren't good when they happened. I didn't like them when they happened, and they're not good now. And the credit card spending's hurting them. But more importantly, if this guy is not going to allow good football people to come to the Texans because they can't trust him, then something has to be done, or you are limiting your pool of potential, not just general managers, but maybe even potential coaches.
Look, Jackie Speak can be want to be behind the scenes, and this was only a get together between him, Bill O'Brien, and media guys, which you were at, Lance. If you want to be behind the scenes, don't show up to that meeting. Don't show up, because you know what? Now you have multiple personalities who can go on air and talk about what you said, why you were there. If you are truly a guy who wants no part of it, let Bill O'Brien be the face of everything. Why are you even there?
No, but he wants to be in power, but I don't think he wants the bullets. And there's no such thing.
You can't do that. And if you want to be behind the scenes, it wasn't a public appearance per se, but don't show up at a get-together with local media personalities.
And speak as one of the experts. Speak as one of the decision makers.
You're asking for it, and now he's got it.
Yeah, and now with that comes the scrutiny of what was your background, what moves have you made, what did people in New England think about you? That all comes out.
We got stories about resumes being changed because they don't fit what he actually does.
Right.
That doesn't fit. Look, I mean, it's only...
This is all a bad look.
It doesn't feel like this is... Actually, it's pretty clear. This is an organization that's rudderless right now, and if the guy steering the ship is a guy that no one trusts, good luck.
All right, 915 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. Get it, Lance.
Get it, Lance. I'll talk about Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Get it, Lance. Okay. Yeah. You know what I just did?
No one can see you dab.
I just dabbed twice. I thought that's what you meant, John. I thought you meant to dab on people. And you know, Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC in Angleton, is they consistently dab on the other dealerships with offers like, let me give you what the Buick offer is right now. This is actually pretty sweet. They've got a 2020 Buick SUV lineup. With a great innovation, they got the premium amenities, all the style that you could want. I thought the Buick Enclave, I've test driven the Buick Enclave before. I think that's a fantastic crossover vehicle. They're giving you $6,250 off the purchase allowance. It's got the interior size of an SUV. Maybe you like the Buick Encore. It's a little smaller. You can get $4,250 purchase allowance on most models, and that is a really affordable car. I think you're really going to love it. You can see the dealer for complete details. Go to the website, lancezcars.com. Remember, better trade-in value, better customer service, outstanding service department, and they'll even deliver your vehicle right here in Houston to your doorstep. Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and World Series champion, and big fan of Gulf Coast Chevrolet in Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Does it matter that Brandon Cooks is playing well now since Bill O'Brien's got fired?
Matter in what way?
Well, I mean, is Bill O'Brien leaving the reason for it? He had just 10 catches for 138 yards, no touchdowns, in 4 games with Bill O'Brien. In 2 games since he left, he has 17 catches for 229 yards and 2 touchdowns.
I don't think it's, maybe Kelly's made him more of a focal point. Brandon Cook still has talent. There's no doubt about that. Now, no one's giving you a second rounder for him. But Brandon Cooks still has some talent. He's probably being paid too much, but I have no problem with the Texans keeping Brandon Cooks around. The Randall Cobb deal was dumb. Will Fuller, personally, if the price was right, I would keep him if I were the Texans. If he's going to get a really good deal, and by the way, he's going to go on the market after a COVID year, so that could benefit the Texans if they want to keep him. and you may be able to get, you know, a good deal. I mean, you may be able to get a reasonable price tag on him, although his salary is obviously going to go up. If you let him walk, you have Randall Cobbs or Cobb. You have to let Kenny Stills got to be gone. There's just too much money. So you got Cobb, you have Cooks, potentially Will Fuller. Who else am I missing here, John? I mean, they need a rebuild. I think they're going to have to go get a free agent at wide receiver. I think so. They have to go get a big body, quality wide receiver this offseason. And I'll look and see who those, you know, receivers are. It may not be a wide receiver one, but you got to give Deshaun somebody big. You really do. You got to give him another weapon. And then everything else has to be defense. All your draft picks, your free agent money, whatever you're going to do, it's got to be on defense. Think about this, John. 2 years ago, this defense had DJ Reader, Kareem Jackson, Bernardrick McKinney was actually on the field and not hurt, Jonathan Joseph, Jadeveon Clowney, Tyrann Mathieu. Subtract all those guys, and this is what you have.
Yeah. Yeah, this is as poor a defense as we've seen. And is this is potentially the worst defense that they've had.
They've gotten worse at every single position that I just mentioned.
Well, even JJ's gotten worse because he's older. He's not as good as he was. Whitney Mercilus has just gotten worse because he's Whitney Mercilus. Brennan Scarlett. I mean,
I asked one of the guys, the potential GM candidates, I said, what'd you think of the Whitney Mercilus deal? He goes, terrible. Let that guy walk. He said, you let the guy walk and you don't pay for Whitney Mercilus. He goes, that was a terrible deal. And even if you want to keep him, too much money and too long. He said, that was like, you should have given Whitney Mercilus a 2-year earn it deal where you could have got out of in 1 year. And I said, okay, so you thought so too? He goes, yeah, you could have just drafted a rusher. Said, that's not a guy you give a contract to.
No. Oh, God. It's just a decision after decision after decision. That's just the worst. Just the worst. How in the hell you had this guy running this thing? And well, but Whitney's a great community guy, though, dude. And I would imagine, you know what? Jack Easterby's got to fall on that sword, too. We want to keep dude around because – Look what a great community guy he is.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what about that whole football thing? What about that whole football thing? My goodness, he was non-existent this week. Non-existent. One quarterback, he could have been on the field for one play. I don't know. I don't know if he was only on the field for one play because he had one quarterback pressure the whole game, and that was his stat line.
Yeah.
That is ridiculous. That is ridiculous. Do you believe there are more and more, and I'm seeing Pro Football Talk, and I saw, what's his name that does the show here? Anyway, I saw...
Patrick Creighton?
No, not Patrick Creighton. Okay. That Mike Vrabel really sent in the 12th man?
Warren Sharp said that. That's who you're talking about.
No, I'm also looking at it on Pro Football Talk.
Yeah, no, people. But when you said the guy who works, I assume you meant
Warren Sharp, Warren Sharp,
I looked at it. I think it is possible, actually.
Because he didn't even want the other guy to come off
the
field.
Because the other guy's looking at him like, what the hell is going on? Yeah, I think it is actually possible. At first, I thought it was, no, that's stupid. But the more I looked at it, I do think it is possible.
So they got a first down automatically, which they would have gotten a first down anyway, running the ball. It would have saved, instead of the Texans using the clock, because they would have worked the clock, it stopped the clock. Mike, by the way, if you don't know, the Texans were driving. They're inside. They're right around the 20. They've got a short yardage situation. Mike Vrabel sends in a player with 3:28 to play on a 2nd-and-1, and it stops the clock, gives the Texans a first down.
Right.
Well, it saved 40 seconds by doing that, and they ended up winning the game or tying the game with 4 seconds left on the clock. So that play may have been the difference in them being able to tie the game or not tie the game.
He might have come up with a little backdoor. Yeah, I think it's possible. I definitely think it's possible.
So you're just giving him the first down as opposed to running the ball and getting the first down. I guess because, but here's the thing though: the Texans were up by one. You give them that first down there, although it was second and one. So you got to figure that they're going to get the first down, even if it take if it takes three downs. That's even worse for them because it's using up more clock.
Right.
But you've got to figure that they're not going to. The Texans are going to get the first down. So you just give them the first down, and then you hope you stop them on a first and 10 situation and make them kick a field goal. It did save plenty of time. And, oh, by the way, if the Texans had kicked the extra point instead of going for two, then you would have had to get 8 points, which was no big deal since you could just run the Wildcat for 5 yards anytime you want against the Texans. So certainly a two-point conversion would have been no big deal for Tennessee.
Yeah.
But Manny's getting
2 yards against that front seven.
Oh, gosh.
Walking apart.
But Vrabel, I mean, do you want to talk about playing chess while everybody else is playing checkers? That's a pretty good move.
Yeah.
If, in fact, he did create a penalty with 12 men on the field to stop the clock and give the Texans the first down and save that time, that's a pretty damn good move.
I think there's a chance he knew what he was doing. I definitely think there's a chance.
Yeah. At first, I was like, come on, you're reaching here.
I'm used to the Texans playing chess with everyone and really outmaneuvering, you know, dating back to Dom Capers, Gary, Bill O'Brien, just, you know, nonstop chess moves with the timeouts and coaches' challenges and clock management.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's always been checkers.
It's not my job to do that.
Yes, it is your job to do that.
It's not.
No, yeah, you're right. No. Technically, it is not your job to do that.
It is no longer his job to do that.
Do you have to get rid of Bill O'Brien's soundbites still?
Not for the year. I mean, we'll have to remove them at some point, but not now.
Well, I think that applies anytime it's not somebody's job to do something. We can always have Bill O'Brien.
It's not my job to do that.
Or, hey.
Yeah. This could be played at any point. We're gonna tell each other you suck or say somebody sucks, and we can always play that.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think
that one makes sense. Can you find and play just real quick, and then we'll move on to something else? When Bill O'Brien was speaking at that breakfast luncheon, and he said, "Frankly, the Astros and Texans Astros and Rockets don't really matter. What matters is football," and people start laughing. Like, they think he's joking, but he wasn't joking.
I mean,
he wasn't joking. I know people at the Texans, John, who said this. It was impossible that we were winning all these games and somehow we're losing fans. Like, it didn't make sense. Before Bill O'Brien was gone, they were even wondering, like, how are we getting less popular in the middle of an 11-game win streak? This doesn't seem possible that, and they're listening to radio, too. And I know that on one radio show it was said, I don't think it was on our show, a caller said, I would rather have the Texans lose with Bill O'Brien gone than the Texans win with Bill O'Brien here.
Oh, I think that was sort of the majority of people felt that way. But listen, I thought it was stupid, though, because there was no way they were going to get rid of it. I thought he could have gone 2-14 this year and they still wouldn't have fired him. And yet, I was wrong, especially just 4 games in. They said, that's enough. We're done with you. But, you know, his problems in the locker room definitely played a huge role in that. If he still had the team in the locker room, it probably wouldn't have happened. But when he lost the team, it was over for him. But I think most people – were you all in on the Texans this weekend?
What do you mean?
Were there any lingering – I don't know if I want them to win.
Oh, no, not really. No. No, because, you know, I had initially there's that tug, like, it's that leftover residual Bill O'Brien stuff.
Yeah.
And then I remember, oh, yeah, that's right. No. Come on, guys. Do it. You can do it.
Yeah, there's still a little bit with Jack Easterby back there, but
yeah.
It's the club.
That's what it is. That's what it is. But I don't think the wins and losses have. I don't think that will have any impact on him.
No. Listen, I'm going to root for him. I found it a little difficult because I still look at that uniform and I go, really? You're so basic.
Well, the marketing, that doesn't change. I think the marketing is I mean, they could make some changes.
They could use a complete overhaul.
Yes.
Like, like Tampa rebrand. Bay Orange to Pewter.
They need a rebrand. Maybe an Alexis Rose Consulting comes in and does a rebrand for them, different uniforms. Maybe a David Rose comes in and does something different with the branding.
I think there's a limited number of times that you can change your uniform, though. And, you know, when they put
They've gone from zero to zero?
No, they put the logo over the nameplate.
That's not counted.
Did that count as a logo? A uniform
that's, change? No, that's a uniform change.
You can only do it once.
I don't know if you heard.
And do you really want to rebrand from this?
No, yeah. This you got to keep forever. This you can't rebrand from.
Yeah, so the rule is once every 5 years you can change uniform. Does the logo above the nameplate count?
Yes. Well, are you kidding? That was the Texans' big uniform change.
So what do you want me to play, Lance? Do you want me to play Bill O'Brien, it's the football city? Or do you want me to play Mark Vandermeer talking about how the logo is blah, blah, blah?
No, the football city. The football city.
Sure.
Yeah, I want you to listen carefully when he says this, you know, with all due respect to the other teams, is a football city. And people start laughing because they think,
You're kidding, right?
Oh, he wasn't kidding. Listen to the laughter in the background.
And this is as the Astros are getting prepared for another playoff run. This is August.
Yeah, this is after a World Series has already taken place.
Well, this is August 27, 2019. So the Astros are in the middle of getting ready for last year's run.
Right.
One thing I've learned since becoming a head coach of the Houston Texans is how lucky we are to play in front of such a passionate fan base. You know, I love the Astros. I love the Rockets. You know, I really do. I've been to games, and they're awesome. But we all know what it's about in Houston. And it's about the football team. It's about football. It's about the Texans. And we know that we need to do our part. The Astros are a great, great baseball team.
You can't miss it.
No.
The
they
laughter
did laugh.
Is you can't
I was
miss
there.
It. They thought he was setting them up for a joke. Listen to how many people laugh.
I was there. I cringed. I didn't laugh. Because I've heard – that's not the first time he said that. He said that multiple times at that lunch.
This is how lucky we are to play in front of such a passionate fan base. You know, I love the Astros. I love the Rockets. You know, I really do. I've been to games, and they're awesome. But we all know what it's about in Houston. And it's about the football team. It's about football. It's about the Texans. And we know –
Did you put a laugh track in there, Dell?
No.
No.
I did not.
No, you did not.
That was
original.
Is
that real?
That's real.
You can find it on Mark Berman's Twitter. I mean, it's way back. But, yeah, he said it.
Just so astonishing to hear people laughing like that. But it also tells him how – also shows you how out of touch he was. Now, how out of touch the organization's been. It's not just been Bill O'Brien. I've said this before. That whole organization has thought that their dookie doesn't stink forever. And it's that dookie stinks a little bit.
Yep.
A little bit?
Yeah.
A little bit.
A lot.
They've been sitting in their dookie for about the last 7 or 8 years.
They pooed their pants and didn't even wipe.
They didn't wipe.
Oh.
Yeah.
Somebody sharted?
No. Are you guys on? You're not watching Tehran.
Watched it, yeah.
You watching it?
Yeah. I finished episode 5 last night.
Oh, I did too. Pretty good, isn't it?
It is. I know what you're talking about when that guy said, I'd rather sit in my own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd rather sit in my own.
I'm sitting here in my own, blah, blah, blah. And then,
I'd rather eat what I'm sitting in, he said.
Something like that. Yeah.
By the way, Brandon Strange, who is our sports map video guy who does such a great job on that side, he said, I'm pretty sure the reaction to the Bill O'Brien statement and the laughter was our top video of 2019 on SportsMap with over 200,000 page views.
Really?
Yeah.
He was just lost. 933 ESPN 97.5. Lance, let's get some insurance in here.
TGS Insurance says text the word money to 232323. Text the word money to 232323. It starts a process that very quickly will give you a firm quote for your homeowner's insurance. And what this means to you is that, look, if you continue to re-up with your same homeowner's insurance over and over and you're not actually out there searching for the lowest rate, you're going to be paying too much for A-rated insurance. And TGS wants to make it easy for you. They've got a group of A-rated insurance companies, and they will search for the very best rate you can find with A-rated insurance companies, because ultimately that's what you're looking for, and that's the company that many big brand-name companies are using to underwrite their policies anyway. So you go straight to the source. And that's why your average savings is in the neighborhood of $900 annually. But A lot of people save actually more than that annually with their homeowner's insurance. Let TGS Insurance look for lower rates for you and put more of that money back in your own pocket. Text the word money to 232323 or go to tgsinsurance.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. I think it's pretty obvious, don't you, Dell? Eric Bieniemy is... Jeremy Fowler of ESPN says Bieniemy could be the front runner for the coming vacancy. Yeah, if you're not talking about Eric Bieniemy, then, I mean, obviously, he's the name, right?
Yes.
He's the next guy up, now, especially since, you know, you had other, well, he doesn't call the plays. Well, neither did Doug Peterson, and Doug Peterson got the job, and Doug Peterson went on to win the Super Bowl. There's guys that work for, and there's other guys that work for Andy Reid that have gotten jobs, and didn't call the plays because Andy Reid runs the offense. It's Eric Bieniemy's turn. I would imagine he is. There are going to be other jobs open, so it'll be interesting to see. But it's a little premature to be talking about the coach yet, since you don't have a general manager, right?
Yeah, the Texans have a head start because no one else. They were so bad that no one else has fired their coach yet. I mean, that's going to come for other teams, but they have a head start. And Eric Bieniemy seems like it's his time. And you think about situations around the league. Now, the Jets will be drafting a quarterback, it looks like, or at least they have Sam Darnold. But what other place has a quarterback in place like Deshaun? An established, good starting quarterback. I don't know about
very
good.
No matter what you pick at, it's still a huge plus for the Texans.
Yeah, no matter what you look at with Deshaun, they have an established win with quarterback, or win because
under
of quarterback.
Contract.
Under contract for a long time. That's a benefit. Now, all the other, you feel like that might be enough, but all the external stuff that involves the Texans may dissuade guys. But he seems like a guy you should be looking at really strongly if you're the Texans. But like you said, the GM's going to have to like him, and we don't have one of those yet.
No, but Eric Bieniemy Eric Bieniemy will get one of the jobs that'll be open this offseason. I think there's going to be a lot of pressure on teams and to hire, first of all, African American. Secondly, we've seen other candidates like Doug Peterson who have worked for Andy Reid and they've gotten jobs. So I think that there's going to be a lot of pressure, and I think the league is going to. I'm pretty sure Roger Goodell will be in on it, saying, "Hey guys, somebody, we need to do this." And you know what? Hey, by all accounts, Eric Bieniemy deserves a job, and it's not he is next in line, and he should get a job. And I'd be fine with Eric Bieniemy here. I think Deshaun would. Here's the deal: what does Deshaun think about it? I think Deshaun would be all in favor of it. Bring that stuff that you're doing in Kansas City over here.
I would be fine with something like that. That's I think there are a few. I also am on the record saying I don't think you just absolutely rule out a defensive guy. But what I've been told about Robert Saleh, who's the defense coordinator with San Francisco, is he's got a great situation and he is going to absolutely wait for a great job. Now, I don't know. I was lucky enough to talk to two people who gave me their opinions of the Texans job. They weren't blown away by the Texans' opportunity. Like, you know, they know there's holes in the roster. They know there's some salary cap stuff they got to work on, and they know they don't have a first and second round pick next year. So, but they still seemed like it was a job that was good enough. It was definitely good enough. I think Deshaun Watson makes it good enough, but for a coach. A GM can say, look, I need 3 years to build this thing up or whatever the case may be. For a coach, I don't know. I don't know if this is considered a great job for a coach, because you see a front seven and a secondary where you probably need 8 new players. That's a lot. Man, that's a lot to get done.
We've seen turnover, though, before. And as long as you get rid of the listen, go find some football players that can outplay their contracts. That's what you got to find.
Well, that's in the draft.
Yeah, well, you don't have that going on. But you do your best. You might be able to sign some cheaper free agents or whatnot that have a little bit of talent. You go find guys that are, you know what, that's your job. Go find guys that can play, and we can get them in here for a little bit cheaper.
What do you think about this? You know who's been a huge bust? Eric Murray. Huge bust.
Yeah. No. His slide on Derrick Henry, 94-yard touchdown, was...
He's not covering. He's not tackling. Eric Murray has been a huge bust. Zach Cunningham, since they gave him the contract, terrible. Hasn't played well. You've got some major, major issues right now in the secondary. And who is going to rush the quarterback for you in the future? I mean, I think that's a big concern. When I look at the Texans, I truly believe the Texans think they can make the playoffs. They're 1-5, and I think in their building they probably think the playoffs are still in play. The way I look at this is, even if it's not in play, this is every game is a chance for you, or every 3 or 4 game stretch is a chance for you to say, hey, we're getting better in these areas. We're playing for each other. We're not giving up. We show high football character. You can learn a lot about a team in a year like this. You just look around the roster, watch guys play, and see who the ones are who are still showing up and who are playing hard, and look at the guys who continue to lose reps snap after snap after snap, head to head. That's when you start to see who's got high football character, who plays hard. It will show up on a season like this.
Yep. Rack addressed the tackling situation. You're not tackling much because you don't tackle at practice. Bad habits kind of carry over, and we have to try to eliminate those bad habits. You really can't practice tackling. Well, Rack, nobody can, and teams are tackling better than your team does. You don't tackle well because you don't have the ability to tackle well, because your team doesn't tackle well, not because you can't practice it. Nobody can practice it. Everybody's had the same amount of practice. Everybody does the same thing in practice. You have the same limitations on tackling, everybody. So you can't use that. Some teams actually tackle. Some teams actually make tackles. You know what? What we're finding is your linebackers are not filling holes. Your safeties are coming up and missing tackles. Your corners, your guys are getting caught inside and getting sealed off by tight ends. We're seeing all kinds of mistakes that your team is making. And how many times have we seen, forget tackling, but a guy thought they're in man and they're in zone, or thought they're in zone and they're in man, and he's letting this guy go by, and two guys are looking at each other with their hands up. I mean, that crap has got to stop. It's just got to stop. I mean, you're making more mental mistakes. The tackling thing is more mental than it is physical. It is more mental. You're missing assignments. You're filling wrong gaps. You're doing a lot of crap that you just shouldn't be doing.
Well,
you're not breaking down. You're coming up running as fast as you can. Right. Guy puts a puck.
No,
puts
you're, the ground. You're right on all that stuff. You're not coming to balance as a tackler. You're not wrapping up. You're not getting your feet in position before you spring into your tackle. We're seeing Zach Cunningham's instincts are not very good. Unfortunately, when DJ Reader was there and he was just allowed to run and chase, it's a whole different story. That's why whoever the new coach is, I think they need to seriously consider a move to a 4-3 and get Zach Cunningham to a will linebacker position. You got to get him running and chasing. He can't be in the middle of that defense. That's a problem.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a bad idea.
I don't know. I mean, I just – right now with the Texans, to me, you should always be trying to build towards the championship. And I know that sounds corny or whatever, but it's really not corny. You got to – all your moves have to be with an idea of building to a champ. That's why if you say, well, we can still make the playoffs this year, that's irrelevant to me for what needs to happen in the future for building a championship. You need to have guys playing hard. You need your football character to be high. You need your leaders to keep leading. And then you got to start building from there. And if you're building towards being just okay, like this is what I give Maury credit for. He continued to try to keep swapping and flipping this piece and that piece, trying to do whatever he could within his power to get to a championship. That was his whole goal. Now we could start to see you know what? You're really just shuffling a deck. It's really the same cards. We don't think you're going to get there. But the Astros have done that too. The Astros kept, you know, they did whatever they had to do with Gerrit Cole, with, you know, Jeff Leno went after it. He went after it. But there's also times where you just have to recognize, if you got a quarterback like the Miami Dolphins, right? Ryan Fitzpatrick is never going to lead you to a championship. And you're not going to a championship this year. But what the Dolphins are basically doing by going to Tua right now is saying, look, we're going to do this anyway. Let's do it while the vibes are positive, while players are doing well. We've got a very Ryan Fitzpatrick is an awesome mentor and second quarterback. So let's put Tua in a position where we're already having some success, and let's start trying to build towards our championship. Right. And that's smart. That's good. They've got a plan. This organization has had no – I don't feel like, John, there's been a great philosophy in place, a great plan in place, a great direction. I've always felt like at some point GM and head coach weren't aligned, and you had this issue and that issue, and you didn't really have a great philosophy for who you were going to draft for your defense or your offense. And I'm just so sick of it after almost two decades. I just want them to be a smart team who is looked at like the Rockets and Astros were. Nobody ever looked at the Rockets and Astros, Morey or Leno, like they didn't know what they were doing. They were looked at as smarter guys in the league. Right. I want somebody in the Texans to be considered a smart guy.
No, there's none of that. None of that. We'll talk about more on the other side. On the other side, we got more on the other side. But right now, we got to talk about Texas Star Grill Shop. I went and paid my grill off, and I got to tell you, I just can't wait. I told them just wait a little while, working on the house, getting all kinds of stuff done. The grill's going to be delivered. I got an unbelievable DCS grill, and it is the 2019 model and the 2020 model. I mean, they got everything. It's a gas grill where I've got a charcoal pan where I can put charcoal in there, and I can get that charcoal taste in my gas grill. That's how totally, totally sweet this is. So I'm definitely going to do that. And the grill is slanted so that all the juices fall down into the pan instead of falling into your gas, into the gas, whatever they are, and instead of making that just filthy and unmanageable, it slides down into the grease pan, and then you empty it, and it's totally sweet. This is just technology that you're not going to find elsewhere, but you're finding all the latest technology at Texas Star Grill Shop. Three locations right now, open in another location. You got Spring, Katy, and on 59 in Shepherd. If you're looking for a grill, they got the fall sale going on right now. You can buy your meats, you can buy all your rubs, you can buy everything that you possibly need for your grill. TexasStarGrillShop.com. That's TexasStarGrillShop.com.
Well, hello!
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. If you've got any thoughts on anything that we have brought up lately, you're more than welcome to get in here. I guess the World Series was played. Did anybody see it? I guess the World Series was played last night.
No, no one cared about it.
No.
Now that the Astros are out, nobody in the country cares about it.
Yeah, I don't remember hearing about it. I heard something about 8-1 or something. I have no idea.
Did you see where the Cowboys players, by the way, called out their coaching staff?
They're one year of being there.
It's a mess. The Cowboys clearly don't really truly trust Dak Prescott to pay him enough to pay him what the market rate is. He just got done compound fracture in the ankle. That team looked awful at home. Their fans are having their girlfriends kiss them while their hands are in their heads as they're crying and they turn into memes. The players are openly bashing the coaches to any media member who will listen.
Well, was,
how about them Cowboys?
Was McCarthy? Listen, the word I got about McCarthy in Green Bay was that he pretty much just gave up. I mean, he just...
Was it the battle with Aaron Rodgers or what?
I don't think that he was just into working all that hard.
Ooh, man. That's not great. No. To be as a coach?
No. And he was just like, oh, this is, you know, and we're going to do it. I want a Super Bowl, so I'm going to, you know what, this is how we do it, and that's it. And wasn't very good at, you know, making adjustments, calling play. It wasn't a very good play caller at all. Wasn't working hard on, you know, studying the opponent and all the stuff that goes into all of that. And it was just a kind of a, you know what, just walking, going through the motions. The discontent is, and now as they sit 2-4, the discontent is leaking out on the coaching staff, totally unprepared. They don't teach. They don't have any sense of adjusting on the fly. Another, they just aren't good at their jobs. Holy crap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't help that Dak can't hold on to the football. I mean, and by the way, how did they fall behind the Falcons so badly? They had 4 turnovers in like the first 20 minutes of the game. And Dak fumbling twice early on the other night, it's going to snowball on you. But again, I don't know that they have that this coaching staff has an answer for it. Mike McCarthy is just a retread that, you know what, that's just a – if he doesn't last more than this, would it be – okay, what are the odds? Since today's what are the odds Wednesday, and that's what we do. This is – we made this up. We created this segment. What are the odds that Mike McCarthy is the head coach at this time next year?
Man, with the way it's going, I really think this could be a one-and-done year for Mike McCarthy.
Let's not forget now that they're leading the division.
Wait.
Yeah, they're 2-4 and leading the division. They're the first-place team.
No one else has 2 wins?
No. One win. They all have to.
Is there any way that we could relegate the entire NFC East?
No, the NFC East is. There are what, 5 teams that have 5 wins? And the whole division has 5 wins.
Hmm.
The whole division.
Well, now that you said that, the Dallas could win the division at about, I don't know, 5-11 potentially. Is there any chance that 6-10 wins that division? I think there is.
Well, we've seen a 7-9.
The Giants will get to 4 wins. Washington will get to 4 wins. I think the Eagles will get to 5 wins. And I think the Cowboys get to 6 wins, maybe. I still think there's a chance that 5-11 win that division.
What if 5-11 wins a division? And they host the wild card game?
It's 2020. You don't think that could happen in 2020?
Uh-huh.
Shark attacks. What else? There's something else recently I saw. I'm like, yeah, 2020. I just saw Jeremy Pruitt, by the way. There's a story that somebody threw a bottle through his window. They were so pissed off that Tennessee got their asses kicked by Kentucky that somebody threw a bottle through his window. Listen to this. This is SEC fans are just different. They're not,
well,
you know, fanging booty and all
that. Tennessee fan would be used to this.
Well, yeah, but they thought they were back, and they gave a big extension to Jeremy Pruitt. They thought, okay, it's a Nick Saban guy. We're all in. Well, they talk about how bad the loss is, and they said, this is an outcome so galling that it led to one Vols fan to throw a bottle through a window. Said fan felt – oh, it was just his own window, I think. Said fan felt compelled to call into a post-game radio show and report his meltdown, adding that his wife left the house over it. Honey, Tennessee football – honey, Tennessee football done it, the man said he told his wife. I didn't do it. So somebody threw – did you see the Cowboy fan who threw a beer at the screen, punched the screen,
yeah,
threw it down, and then shot it 5 times?
Yeah.
Do you think that was a setup, or do you think that somebody was just taping a guy who was getting madder and madder and madder, and they just caught gold on tape?
I think he said, watch this.
So roll, you think roll, that was a setup?
Roll on this.
Yeah, because he had, I think so too, because he did have a loaded gun right next to the TV on right next to, on his mantle. Well, it was outside.
I thought he pulled it out of his pocket.
Oh, is that what happened?
I think he did. Yeah.
No chance that he just shot it. What's the craziest you've seen a friend act? Have you ever seen a friend do something crazy, or have you broken a TV or done something like that over a game?
No, I've never done that. I've seen a buddy punches a hole through his wall.
I've seen that multiple times from Michael Bennis.
I had a buddy, Jeff, with the Bulls. He punched a hole through the wall. But that was an economic thing too. He was in Phoenix. We were in Phoenix, and he had a video store, and it was the Suns and the Bulls. And the longer the series went, the fewer videos he would sell. So Suns won a game, and he punched a hole in the wall.
By the way, KJ, before I get out of here, KJ says, a segment on ESPN said they ran 20,000 simulated games in the NFC East, where the winner of the division was 4-12, came up the most times than any other record. Holy crap! Could you imagine a division winner finishing 4-12?
Well, look at the rest of their schedules, though. How many times will an NFC East?
Well, they're going to beat each other, right?
Well, but they could beat each other up. They could all finish 3-3 in the division, but. How many times will an NFC East team be favored against a non-NFC East team? I mean, if you're playing the Jets.
No, you can't. I mean, Washington's bad. The Giants aren't very good.
But Cowboys and Eagles are underperforming.
No, nobody would be a dog to the Jets all year long.
No. But I don't know how many times. Do they play the Jets? I don't know. Listen, if they're playing, what are they playing? The NFC South? If they're playing the NFC South or what if they're playing the AFC Central with Baltimore or the NFC West? They won't be favored in any games.
Yeah.
Well, I got to see who they're playing. I mean, because, they won't be favored. They will be favored in zero games going forward. That's just ridiculous. All right. What does Lance got to do, Dell?
Well, he should leave.
No. I want to tell you about your heart issue. And maybe you don't have one. That's awesome.
Beating it?
Do you know?
It's not called beating it.
No. I'm talking about Core Med Solutions, John. But you can beat myocarditis.
If you
say
beat it?
Yeah. Beat myocarditis. It. Beat an enlarged heart. There are things that are fatal, that could potentially be fatal. Cardiac issues are your number one killer in the country right now. Number one. CoreMed Solutions is a very unique group, somebody I'm super excited about, because they have broken away from the standard practice of you got to go to this doctor and then this doctor, and then they order an echocardiogram for you, and then you got to pay this, we didn't meet our deductible. Looks like we have to pay $650 for this. And what they do is they have right there, Dr. Burkholder is a pediatric and adult cardiologist. You go right to CoreMed, and he will order the echocardiogram, the EKG, the stress test, and they will check out your heart. They check out your heart health. And this should be done by everyone at some point to find out if you have any issues that are hereditary or that you've been living with since you were young, because it will turn into a problem at some point. And a lot of people with even asymptomatic and mild symptoms of COVID are getting myocarditis, which can be treated and needs to be treated. Let CoreMed Solutions take care of that for you. It's just $200. You can go completely off the insurance, and it's just $200 for you to get a huge peace of mind or great information that could help save your life. CoreMedSolutions.com. Check out their ability to work at your entire business as well with their mobile unit, CoreMedSolutions.com.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7, that's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.